New Testament believers, that's you. Moses saw the afterglow of God. Who do you have indwelling within you? God. God, the Holy Spirit. For anyone who has professed their faith, who has become a child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. The guarantee. So we get to spend every day with the Lord. God indwelling us. That's what we need to have. You come to that point where you believe that. You could experience this amazing relationship day in and day out. That's what we have as New Testament believers. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, what we see this morning is not a reference to a common service. Not something that we have here. It wasn't synagogue. It wasn't where a teacher comes to the front. Actually, the teacher would sit down, everyone else would stand up. So maybe we should do that right now. And remember, Paul preached for hours all through the night. But this was not a common Sunday service, one that we're familiar with, but rather what we would call an afterglow service, in which we all come together as a church, and we're allowing just the Lord to speak to us in different ways. I've been in afterglow services to where there's a word of knowledge. And I can tell you, in a big crowd, it's easier for someone to come up and to speak, and someone here doesn't know, but they've been waiting for a long time to be with child. And I can tell you right now that the Lord is encouraging you. You are with child right now. You are caring. And in a group of like 10,000 people, that's kind of like you have a pretty good chance of it happening, right? Now, I saw it take place in not that specific thing, but something pretty similar in a small group. Now, whoever's speaking that word of knowledge has to know that it is definitely the Lord that wants that person to say that, right? And if you're wrong, then it was you heard wrong, right? And it's amazing how everything that took place within that meeting was right on. And people were weeping because the person who was speaking about them. And that's just the, you see, and it's not weird. Here's the thing is we need to understand. I want you to put aside all your, what you thought you knew about an afterglow service or about what we're about to read here. Put it off to the side and let's get down to Scripture. This is not something that's weird. We're not going to all talk at the same time in tongues. We're not all going to fall down on the ground in holy laughter. That's where normally what we do is we put the gifts of the Holy Spirit off to the side and we don't exercise at all. We don't give them any chance to work. Let's look at Scripture, what Scripture tells us, how it is that we are to conduct this type of service. We've already looked at spiritual gifts and chapters 12 and 13, and then here we'll see it in detail in chapter 14. And again, just this is a very powerful showing of God's presence, and it's beautiful to be a part of. As it says in verse 12, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." So let's keep that in mind as we go into this chapter. Two things I want you to do. One, mark your calendars for August 7th. So go ahead and do that now. We'll take some time. Number two, we always look to keep things orderly. And so that's what we need to do is keep things orderly within the church. We serve a God of order. Now, the benefits are various and multiple that we can gain. But one, again, is that you walk away refreshed in the Lord. And secondly, that your faith is built up. by what someone speaks, prays, or just the time that you spend together in an afterglow. It's a dynamic service. So let's start. Verse 26. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And we'll stop there. I think that is understood very well. Over the course of several messages, that everything we do as Christians in the use of our spiritual gifts is to be done for the building up of others within the church, right? We've gone over that week after week. It's all for the benefit of the church, to benefit each other, for the common good of the body of Christ. But what does this look like in an afterglow? How are we supposed to conduct ourselves? And so I think it's very clear. This is the way it's supposed to take place. For instance, tongues. No more than three people are to speak in tongues. Right? Very clear. No more than three. So if you're in a service to where there are not only more than three, but all at the same time doing it, that is not the right way to conduct yourselves in this type of service. Not only that, this is what the Bible mandates, right? Very clear instructions. Secondly, not at the same time. We know that different people will have the use of that gift at various times, but one at a time. And thirdly, they need to be interpreted. Again, we go back to what I said previously, in that we should all desire, and that this was last week, not only the gift of tongues, let's say we have the gift of tongues, we should also desire the gift of what? Interpretation, right? Because here's the thing, if you're speaking in tongues and someone stands up to interpret what you're saying, how do you know what they're interpreting, what you're saying is interpreted correctly? Right? So we need to understand that, you know, we can sometimes be used as vessels of confusion and not to do things in an orderly way or decent manner in which we're bringing glory to the Lord. And so it's better to be silent than bring chaos into a service. And for the use of tongues, if there's no interpretation, then they're supposed to be used for your own private devotional time. Speak to yourself and speak to God. Right? Very simple. How is it that we can get that confused as a church? I don't know. Very clear, right? But there's some churches, there's some denominations that seem to want to take this and do their own thing with it. Prophets. Regarding the use of this in as you know the spiritual gift of prophecy, there are to be no more than, same thing, right? Three. No more than three. Don't interrupt others. One at a time. As you're given a word, and prophecy. Remember, it's not foretelling the future, but foretelling the present. It's looking at Scripture and speaking. It's like having a devotion. Someone needs to hear. Someone needs to hear a word of instruction or encouragement from the Lord. And you may be that spokesperson at the time. You don't interrupt others. That would be rude, right? Disorderly, indecent. Love is kind and not rude. Love is also patient and kind. And remember that the Holy Spirit does not interrupt himself. Secondly, so that those hearing will be encouraged. It's difficult to learn or to be encouraged in the middle of chaos. Wait a minute, I didn't hear what that person was saying because two other people are speaking at the same time. Also, whoever thinks that they're next in line to speak, remember that the person speaking is the one who is anointed at the time to speak those words, and he could very well be there to speak into you. Have you ever spoken with someone and you're not listening to what they're saying because you're so ready to say what you're going to say next? Right? We've all been in those conversations. We've probably done it ourselves, right? You're like, man, I don't want to lose that thought, so I'm thinking about it. Oh, what did you say? Right? That's in service. That could happen right now. Your mind might be somewhere else. What am I supposed to do after service? Oh, I'm supposed to take care of this and that, and I need to call so-and-so. Listen, at the time the Lord is doing a work, do not be distracted with other things. That's why I ask the Lord to just calm our hearts, remove all distractions, and be focused on what he is speaking to you at the time. Where are you? You're in church. Nowhere else. Redeem the time. Make the best use of it. That's what we need to do. And so the person who is going to speak next needs to just sit still and receive. The person that's speaking at the time, the Lord is using. For again, remember, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace, a God of order. Also hears. You have a responsibility as well. Do you remember the acronym ACT? What did it stand for? A was apply, C is change, and T is teach, right? Okay, so if we're paying attention as hearers, we're listening, we also need to be diligent, what? Diligent students of the Word of God, approved unto God, right? That we would rightly divide it, and ashamed before the Lord, always being able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Okay, when you do that, you can be a judge of what others are saying. For instance, as I'm speaking here, you should, and I always encourage you to bring a pen, a pencil. We provide bulletins now. If you flip it over, there's lines on there. You can make notes, jot them down. The Bereans were given accolades, you know, for testing what was spoken. Is it true? Is it right doctrine? Is what the person is speaking according to Scripture, or is it not? So you should always, as someone is speaking, as someone is prophesying, as someone is teaching, giving instruction, you should always know the Word of God so that you can know that what's being spoken is sound. And so you have a responsibility as well. Remember that the Corinthians had already been rebuked in chapter 6 for having disputes within the brethren, heard by pagan courts, and that's where they brought their disputes. We should be able to judge different situations in what we say and our own actions within our own church. There's no reason to go outside of church to allow someone else to judge whether it's right or wrong. Right? That's what the Word of God says. So if we're given that great responsibility, then we are also responsible to make sure that what we're hearing is sound. and not just satisfying itchy ears. There is, you know, and I wanted to throw this out there because there could be an argument that sounds something like this. Judge not, lest you be judged. Right? Well, who are you to judge me? Well, listen, humility plays into all of this, okay? If someone comes to you, hopefully in a spirit of love, to correct you, and I'm talking doctrine, make sure you receive it in humility and it's given in love, first of all, okay? Pray over it. Let's understand Matthew 7, 1 through 5, and you don't have to turn there in your Bibles, but this section is where Jesus is telling us not to judge others. Right? Don't judge others. Why? Well, you're going to be judged with the same judgment, right? So you need to be careful. What Jesus is saying is, hey, listen, you need to take care of the sin in your life. If it's not right in your life, take care of it. But don't continue to do what you're doing and then go and try and judge someone else. So we need to put it in context. For example, the Bible says it's not right to commit adultery. It's a sin, right? But if you yourself, what you're speaking to someone else, are guilty of, okay, stop doing what you're doing. But that doesn't mean, at the same time, that you can't speak that to someone else, because you're going to be judged as well. In fact, in Numbers 32:23 says your sin will find you out, right? So it'll find you out. But the thing is it may be a little bit more severe for you if you're speaking into someone else the very thing that you're going to be judged by. Okay, so you need to be careful of that. And you can go on and on as far as that's concerned. What is it in your life? Are you telling someone else, judging someone else's sin when you haven't allowed the Lord to deal with yours? Deal with your sin. But when it comes to doctrine, we need to be students of the Word of God. That we wouldn't be like the waves of the ocean tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, they go wherever they're pushed. The reeds, have you seen them in fields? As the wind blows one way, they'll lay down. As they blow the other way, they'll lay down the other way. They don't stand strong on anything. They're just pushed off by every wind of doctrine. May we not be that in our lives. We need to stand on the rock, on the truth. So that's our responsibility, is to judge what's being said. Verse 33, the second part of verse 33, we'll start there and we'll continue. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Hey, the man is speaking. Kind of like this, these funny thoughts come into my mind. And this is for each and every one of us. Whoever's speaking at the time, that's the man. That's the man that God has chosen. I can tell you that it's a humbling and it's a privilege to be able to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. It's also a great responsibility and something that we need to and ought to take seriously. But we also need to respect that person as they're speaking. Not because of that person, but because of the words that the man is speaking. Because the Lord is speaking to you through him. So, we throw this part out because it's discrimination against women's rights. It's not according to what society holds as something to be true and right. today, right? It's not. It's not embraced. It's not even acknowledged. A judge in his courtroom. The order in the court. I don't know what else they say. I'm so glad I don't know. But, you know, they go through their whole thing. But what happens when the judge comes into the courtroom? Everyone stands, all rise, right? I do know that. Judge Judy once, I think. And all rise. There's order in the court, right? And the judge can demand order in the court. When the gavel goes down and he says order in the court, if it starts getting out of hand, he has that right. How much more does the judge have authority to command order in the worship of himself? After all, it's for the benefit of all, right? So he commands this order. He says, hey, this is the way we ought to do it. I'm going to lay it all out for you. Remember, it's not anyone less being less in his eyes than the other. Just this is the order that I am setting for the worship, for instruction, for all that I have for you. And he sets it out. Remember that love, as we learned in 1 Corinthians 13:5, does not insist on its own way, but rather we are to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Verse 7. In the first place, we need to do this is with the Lord. And if with each other, why are we not to do so with Scripture? Only when we choose to. If we're supposed to apply this to each other, why don't we do it with Scripture? Why don't we honor it and give it the place it should have and follow it the way it should? Remember that there was an issue, and I remind you in 1 Corinthians 11 that the women were coming in with uncovered heads. You remember that? But we were also told that they were able to prophesy and that they were able to pray. The only issue is that they were coming in and disrespecting the very order that God has set within the church. So what can we learn from this? Well, so far, people gifted in tongues and other people gifted in prophecy are to be quiet with each other, right? When one is speaking, everyone else is to be quiet, right? That's what we've learned so far. So then why not women too? There was an issue in the church to where the women they were new, first of all, to this gathering. Women up to this point were not given the respect, the honor, the value in society that the Lord had given to them. And so this was new to them. They would come into church service and they would learn and they would listen. And can you imagine them hearing a teaching for the first time? And they didn't quite get it. You know, it was like, okay, well, I got this and I got that, but what did he mean by this? Or what did he mean by that? Right? So there was obviously just a lot of talking going on, a lot of questions that were being asked within the service. Can you imagine if that were happening here? That'd be odd. You know, just all of you talking, there's like this low hum going on within the audience as I speak. That would be odd. That would be chaotic. That would be distracting to others. But there's also something that we can learn, and that is submission. By everyone else. I know that there are gifted people here. I've heard you teach. But there's a time of not only submitting properly, but also properly on the outside, but properly on the inside, the heart. Being submitted to whoever is speaking is something that we can learn and apply. I've heard you teach. You guys are humility. Also, you need to learn something here, something very practical. Again, jotting down notes, right? In the middle of a service, as you're moving along, I can tell you, as Chuck taught on Tuesday, I wrote down a lot of notes. And Chuck, I'm sorry, not everything was on your message. But sometimes, as the Lord is speaking, He also reminds you of something. Remember I was saying, I could have read what I read in Exodus chapter 33. And that whole story, and there's something that God spoke to you within one of those verses, you jot it down, and you're praising God as you're writing it down, and you're continuing on. You're not speaking, you're not, you know, making any other distracting gestures or anything like that. You're just jotting that down and moving on. You're going to go back to it, and trust me, you're going to remember it much better if you jot it down. So something just very practical that we can learn, and that is to jot down a note and ask after the service. Remember, that's the way to act as a hearer, because you can then apply, change, and teach, going back to your notes and passing on what you've learned. Again, apparently these people in Corinth were asking whatever, whenever, to whomever they wanted during the service. And so that was the issue. Finally, it's a commandment of the Scriptures for women to be in submission to their husband. Although, as Genesis 3:16 says, quote, "And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." And that's not a very popular verse. That's not one that if I want to make you feel really good, I'm going to go over. I'm going to even mention. Ladies, it's a natural tendency to control your husband. It is. Unfortunately, that's a struggle. But it's also a fact that, and these are the Lord's words, that He will rule over you. The problem with that word rule is that it's been perverted. It's taken out of context. Because if you look at other sections of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:3, Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, and Titus 2:5, if you look around those Scriptures, you'll see that husbands have a great responsibility. And as 1 Corinthians 13 said, if we're going through the motions and not doing things out of love, we're like a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong. That isn't bringing glory to God. But as husbands, we have great responsibilities. But God does call order, not only within the church, but also within the home. And He does it for a purpose. And this is the bottom line. We will look at verses 36 through 40. "Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or a spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order." Kind of a strong ending, don't you think? Kind of like receiving a slap in the face and having your tie fixed all at the same time by the Apostle Paul. Kind of like he stepped on your foot, you feel the pain, you look down, and there's no scuff. What happened here, right? We were moving along, and all of a sudden you threw this down. Do you know what a paraprosdokion is? I hope I pronounced that well. Or at least close to, okay. Do you know what that is? I learned that last Saturday. Thank you, Glenda. There was a whole list in this email of examples of what it is. For instance, where there is a will, I want to be in it. Okay, maybe after service you'll Here's another one. To steal ideas from one person is plagiarism. To steal from many is research. So students, keep that in mind. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. That's one of the, he just slapped you and fixed your tile at the same time. You know, it's one of those. Because when we hear that as Christians, we think, wow, you know, is this a museum for saints or a hospital for sinners, right? For those who are hurting. We're all hurting in some way, shape, or form. We all need instruction. We all need to be broken and contrite before the Lord. And he may be allowing that to happen in your life. And so we all come here as a people who are in need. And sometimes we come here thinking that we're doing God a favor. I'm sitting here and you know what? I'm here to receive. I'm here for you, Lord. And you know, I hope the worship's good. I hope the message is good. And I can tell you that if I sit up here and just read the Word of God to you, that is sufficient. That is good enough. But sometimes we just come and we're going through the motions. We just come and it's just like this Christian bubble that we go into. It's not a museum for saints. It's a hospital where you're being ministered to. Where you are here to receive as well as give. Because after service is where the rubber meets the road. After service is where the time that you're fellowshipping, that's the reason why we have that whole area back there. We've left it open. We haven't put any chairs back there. We haven't done anything else with it. We didn't enclose it. We left it back there. Why? So fellowship can take place. In that as you have received, you have spent this time with the Lord being refreshed, being instructed, being corrected in some areas, that you go back there and as someone else is hurting, that you are there for them with maybe just an embrace or some words that the Lord has given to you. And it's your turn to do ministry as the Lord has filled you. So it's important for us not to brush past this section. Because for one, it gives us the authority of God's word and man's knowledge in comparison to God's wisdom is absolutely foolishness. The question is it from you that the word comes from? Are you the word which was from the beginning? Are you the author and finisher of the faith? And will you complete what has been begun? All rhetorical questions, right? But we need to recognize the authority of the Word of God and to submit to it and exemplify it, demonstrate it in our lives by how we live. Remember that pride plagued this Corinthian church, and pride can plague this church as well by just keeping everything bottled up. We need to accept God's Word as authority in our lives and exercise our gifts and everything that we do for the benefit of the church. Now, by now, Paul had already preached the gospel and taught in many other places. Corinth was not the only place. So not only do they need to acknowledge that what Paul is telling them is the very word of God and has that authority, but also that they are not the only ones that know this. Isn't it humbling when you think you've figured something out? It's original. I got it all figured out. I got it down. Only to find out later that everyone else knows about it. That's humbling. You go in for a patent, right? Oh, no, this has already been thought about. You had it all sketched out and everything, whatever you wanted to patent. Or you have your invention. Sometimes we invent things in our own minds. We think we were the originators. And everyone else knew about it before you did. It's humbling. Finally, We see here that we are to earnestly desire prophecy. And as a church, we are not to forbid anyone to speak in tongues unless they're doing it disorderly, according to what we just learned, because all things should be done decently and in order, according to verse 40. In other words, good, in an organized manner. I remember reading about, as I read Chuck Smith's books, and just hearing some messages within Calvary Chapel, that there's instances to where the ushers, unfortunately, had to come forward and ask people to come to the back. And very well done. Why? Because they were in their seats speaking in tongues, or they did something that brought attention to themselves. And it was disorderly. And now you begin to understand why it is that that has to be done. Do you not? As you look at this section of Scripture, why, if someone is disrupting the whole service and bringing attention upon themselves, why it is that that person needs to be spoken to and maybe help to understand what the Word says about how to conduct ourselves in a service. But it benefits the whole body and the expression of spiritual gifts. So, do we all understand how it is to conduct ourselves as a church in an afterglow service? Yeah. Then mark down August 7th. Be here. I'm not saying anyone's going to speak in tongues. I don't know what will take place. I do know this, is that we need to make ourselves available for that time of refreshing, that time of instruction, that time of maybe even someone needs some comfort. I personally have not heard anyone speak in tongues. But I have seen plenty of people in an afterglow service being ministered to by prayer as the worship's going on. We'll be up front. The elders will be here. I'll be here. And we'll be here for prayer. Someone is going through a rough season because of their health, because of a relationship. That is a sweet time of being placed in the cleft of the rock and allowing the Lord to minister to you. I've experienced, as I've said, someone coming up and sharing a word, just reading out of Scripture. In fact, they've read Scripture and said, I don't know who that's for, but I felt I needed to read that. Sit right back down. That ministered to someone across the room. Be here August 7th for that. Because we all need that time of refreshment from the Lord. To stop from our busy lives, as Robbie and the worship team sung, stop all of that for a moment and just sit at the feet of the Master. So, Robbie, worship team, go ahead and come up. As they come to lead us in one final song, I want to point out to you that Moses frequently met with the Lord. He was led by the Lord. And he spoke with God, face to face, remember, as a friend speaks to a friend. And God wants that relationship with us. It's not a distant God that just gives commandments, but one that wants a relationship with you personally. And so I would pray that you would come to understand that you would make every effort to spend time with him daily in reading Scripture and praying and seeking him and knowing him just as Moses knew God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you do desire this intimate relationship with us. And we thank you for your Son making that possible and going to the cross to atone for our sins, to pay for what we could not pay for, in order for our sins to be not only forgotten, but not ever brought up again and placed as far as the east is from the west from you and from us, because we surrender our lives to your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, you know how to give good gifts, perfect gifts. We thank you for the indescribable gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We commit our lives to you. We desire for you to lead us. Holy Spirit, lead us in all truth. Illuminate the Word of God so that we may understand it and apply it to our lives to bring you glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name.